Podcast Report, episode number 18. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Podcast Report. Cliff Ravenscraft here from PodcastAnswerMan.com, and your host for this podcast that is the podcast devoted to the podcasting track of New Media Expo. That's right, coming up in just a few weeks, my friends, and on the line with me today, my wonderful co-host, booking our show today wonderfully with great guests that I know and love. And anyway, Megan Enlow, welcome back to the Podcast Report.
Thank you. Thank you, Cliff.
Hey,
there's so much good podcasting goodness out there. I just had to have two at a time. More podcasting goodness.
Hey, before we bring Lou and Rob and tell you which Lou and which Rob we're talking about, we'll kind of leave you a little suspense there. We have some big news that was just announced this week. We've been working on. Megan, tell us a little bit about this.
Well, the last two episodes, we have begged and pleaded for Chris Hardwick to come on the show. And now you did that great Lost podcast, so you know how important it is to have a companion podcast that kind of helps teach the ins and outs and helps you keep all the characters straight for these big epic TV shows. So for fans of The Walking Dead, that podcast would be The Talking Dead podcast from AMC with Chris Hardwick. And he also does the Nerdist podcast and all of the podcasts underneath that, the Nerdist Industries podcast. And we have Chris Hardwick for the show. Yay!
That is exciting. We worked real hard to get Leo to come, and mm-hmm. The original idea when we wanted Leo to come, we wanted to be able to have a keynote address where it would be Leo Laporte and Chris Hardwick together doing a fireside chat. And man, have we've been working around the clock to make this happen. I'm just so delighted. It's going to be a great time. Just some really great people doing some wonderful things in this space. And yeah, so if you guys haven't heard already, Chris Hardwick, The Nerdist, and also The Talking Dead, coming to New Media Expo, Fireside Chat, him and Leo Laporte, it's going to be amazing. That's Monday, January 7th, and I think that's at 4 o'clock that special keynote is.
Yes, just prior to the Podcast Awards.
Just prior to the Podcast Awards, and the 8th Annual Podcast Awards is going to be awesome.
It is.
I can't wait for that. Man, so many exciting things are happening. And we want to actually bring to you a little highlight of some of the sessions that are coming. So we do have two different guests on the show today. The first one that we're going to bring on, Lou Mangiello. How would you describe... Now, Lou and I are good friends, but Megan, I'd love to hear, how would you describe to people who Lou Mangiello is and what he's doing?
He is one of those, again, long-term podcasters. He was in there right from the beginning, and he is a huge fan of Disney. He's written trivia books on Disney. He is out there at Walt Disney World out in Florida, and he does the show WDW Radio, and of course WDW for the non-Disneyfied stands for Walt Disney World. And he's been doing that for years. He also owns the travel category of the Podcast Awards. He's won that for several years in a row.
And he does some wonderful meetups. And Lou, so glad to have you on the show today, man.
Hey, Chris, Megan, thank you so much for inviting me on. Really appreciate it.
No problem. So glad to have you here. So tell us, Lou, you didn't start out working with Disney and stuff like that. This started out as a hobby, didn't it?
Absolutely. I was a lawyer in New Jersey back in 2003. I had an IT consulting company, and I always had this love and passion for Disney. I had this idea, sort of setting a personal challenge to myself about writing a book. And all I really knew about was Walt Disney World. So the challenge was, can I write a book and can I get it published? Can I be validated by somebody who thinks my work is good enough to be published? Long story longer, my book turned into a 2-page brochure website, started an online community there. And Cliff, when I had 29 people sign up for my forums back in 2004, I was like, this is so cool. There are 29 other dorks in their basement thinking about Disney World as much as I do. That number grew very, very quickly, which really indicated to me that there was a much bigger community out there. I saw podcasting coming down the pike in 2005, hopped on board, not even sure anybody would listen or know how to listen, and never part of the ultimate plan. But as fate would have it, I ended up leaving the practice of law, picking up my family and moving to Florida.
from the time you started podcasting to when you quit the law firm and did podcasting full time, how much time are we talking about here?
We're talking about probably 3.5 to 4 years. I left the practice a couple years later and then sold my IT consulting company not long after that. And I moved to Florida in 2009.
Sweet. Megan, do you have anything you want to ask Lou?
Well, I wanted to ask you about what you're going to be talking about out at the show.
So again, you know, when I started podcasting, it was a goof, right? It was a hobby. It was something I just enjoyed sharing my passion with other people, never expecting it to be my full-time business. And this is what I do full-time for the past, I guess it's coming on 5 years now. And I think there's a lot of different ways to monetize what you are doing as a content creator. And one of the most difficult, but I think most profitable potentially ways is through sponsorships. And I'm going to talk about some of the different ways you can find and sign and profit and work with sponsors for your brand.
That is an exciting topic, especially for those podcasters out there who are trying to think about how can I maybe make a little extra income or at least cover bandwidth costs and the time that you know, I'm pulling away from my family if I have a family.
Yeah, I think that's really important to think about creative ways of bringing in that money, because you are, like you said, pulling away from your family and you're making this the time for this. And for a lot of people, you know, that's what makes them stop, is that they think that they're going to make all this money and then they don't. And it's important to go into it with a plan and know that the money is not just going to start rolling in. You are going to have to look for sponsors and look for creative ways to find money. So I think that's a great topic for you to be talking about.
And I think you have the right idea about setting expectation levels from day one. And Cliff, you say this all the time. If you're going into podcasting to make $1 million, you need to rethink your strategy. But there are definitely a lot of ways to not just make, you know, money so you're getting out of the red, but you can literally make some serious money along the way too. And we're going to talk about some of those ways and potentials because of how podcasting and how content creation online has evolved over the last few years. And it is serious media, and there is serious money to be spent and made out there.
That is awesome. You know, you're a part of a unique situation we've got going on for the very first time at New Media Expo this time around for the conference. We do have our podcasting track, which has two rooms this time around that will have devoted to podcasting sessions. I mean, these two rooms will have nothing but podcasters talking about podcasting related content. However, we also have a phone call coming in. Is that the president?
That would be my husband. He calls, I swear, I have told him what time we record, and I swear he calls every single week during this time. I just unplug the phone from the wall.
You know what? I love this. This is my style of podcasting, where you just make that a part of the show. It's great stuff. But anyway, we have a special unique situation this year in that not only do we get two full rooms and full sessions for podcasting, but there's also an entire room devoted to what we call monetization. And this year, we've worked it out to where the podcasting community also is able to reserve two of the sessions that are happening there. So we have both Jason Van Orden and Lou, you're coming up there and sharing some of that other content. So you're coming from this as a podcaster, but explain to me, you know, the content there. What if somebody's coming, they're not a podcaster or maybe they're not even thinking about it. How are you going to tie this message in to people who are just maybe blogging or something like that?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about ideas and principles and strategies that are really applicable, not just to podcasting. And look, Cliff, again, I'm very much on board with the idea of, as a podcaster or as a blogger, I think you need to be everywhere. I think you need to create content in the way people are most comfortable consuming it. So if you're a podcaster, you should be blogging. And if you're a blogger, you should be podcasting and creating video. And all of those different media outlets and media channels that you are creating are also creating opportunities for you and opportunities for potential sponsors. And I'm going to sort of show you all the different things that you can do and give you some real world practical example about attracting sponsors, creating media kits, working with them, setting your rates, and maybe avoiding some of the mistakes and pitfalls along the way too.
Sounds great. And the other thing is that I love about the whole setup that we've got for you is that because this room isn't necessarily designed, it's not going to be labeled, hey, this is a podcasting session. There's going to be a lot of people in there who are bloggers who are interested in monetizing their brand and stuff like that, who have never even really thought about podcasting before. And I hope that you'll find some kind of creative way to slip in maybe the temptation to check out podcasting a little further in that session for those folks.
Absolutely. And listen, especially now in 2013, it is so much easier and more accessible than it was back in 2005 when we started to create this content. We're going to point out why you should be podcasting, how easy it is, and how you could monetize that as well.
Absolutely. We're going to talk to Rob in just a minute, and he's going to tell us how we can podcast with nothing more than just an iPad, if you can believe that. But before we do, Lou, I want to ask you one more question. One of the things that I find that's truly interesting is that you have not only built an entire brand around, you know, this bigger corporation, Disney, that so many people around the world love, and you have this online community, you have the podcast, but you also host tours. Can you tell me, is this something you just do because you love it? Is this something that you actually have come up with a creative way to monetize even further? Monetize is not a terrible thing, but you know, when you do those tours, when you do those meetups, is that something that is somewhat profitable for you as well?
Absolutely. And look, these are all secondary and tertiary things that I had never thought about when I first started podcasting, right? I started off by writing trivia books. Because the podcasting was going so well, I started creating sort of virtual audio tours that you could purchase on CD or download. And then the in-person tours, Cliff, really began because people were writing to me asking me for it. I would always say, no, it's not something that I do. Someone was very, very convincing in their request for it. I did it. I love doing it because I love, look, as much as podcasting is sort of a one-way push conversation and we can communicate via the social networks and comments and whatever it may be, there is nothing better than that interaction, being able to sort of talk directly with somebody who's a listener and take them through that experience personally. Of course, you can only scale yourself so big, so you can only do so many tours at once. But I do think that nothing beats a handshake and a hug. And for the past almost 4.5, maybe 5 years, I've been doing monthly meetups in Walt Disney World. I say, look, as long as I'm here, let's all get together. It's really a chance for me to meet listeners and for listeners to come together as a community, as a family of this that they've created around their love of Disney and the love of the show. And now I started taking things on the road. I do meetups around the country. I'm actually going to be doing one right before New Media Expo in Las Vegas, getting together with some listeners out there. I host cruises, you know, trips out to Hawaii and other Disney parks. And it's really been a great thing for me to sort of do these in-person community building events.
Lou, we should have you come out to the GSPN.TV community cruise.
I would love to.
Have you heard about that?
I've seen the banner on your site. I don't remember exactly when your date is.
Yeah, it's like the end of June. It's like the most popular cruising time of the year, I guess. But we're going on a Disney Dream Cruise with the GSPN community for our podcast community. So heck yeah, we'd love to talk to you a little bit more about that. Email me and I'll get you some details.
I would love to. I actually just came off the Dream a couple weeks ago. It's the second year that I've done that, and we had about 500 people come on. It just was an amazing time.
That sounds awesome. Hey, yeah, we'll talk about that. I'll tell you what, we're going to also bring in someone else. And by the way, Megan, if you want to ask something, you're going to have to really like edge yourself in or type in our little chat room. So you say, hey, I got a question.
I noticed. You're on a roll.
You get me with these two guys and boy, we won't shut up. All right.
It's so okay, Cliff. Go for it.
Rob Walsh is on the line as well. Rob from Wizard Media, also known as Libsyn Media, a company that I have known and loved and used for years in my own podcasting. Rob, glad to have you on the show again. And he's going to unmute himself right there.
All right. That's the unmute button.
Hey, what's up, man?
Thanks for having me on board. And by the way, I got to say, the Wizard name is kind of, it's gone.
Is it gone now?
It's pretty much gone. So we're just going by Libsyn.
Sweet. I like that. I never understood the whole Wizard Media, but I just went with the flow. But yeah, Libsyn is Libsyn Liberated Syndication, Libsyn, LIBSYN.com. Go check them out. But anyway, Rob, you guys are coming. I think you guys are actually officially on the expo floor this year, right?
booth 517. So if you're at the show, come on by, say hi, get a picture taken, you know, shake your hands and we'll talk to you about our services. So yeah, Libsyn will be there, booth 517.
Now, Rob, you're no stranger to podcasting. You're obviously one of the earlier pioneers as well, going back to at least early 2005, if not late 2004, right?
Yeah, I was 2004. So I'm 8 years now podcasting.
That is awesome.
And amazing.
I remember hearing about you for the very first time. You were like the inside the studio James Lipton of podcasting.
Yeah, I mean, my early show, Podcast 411, I think you were a listener of that early on. That was the show that was about podcasting. It was interviewing podcasters. It was all about podcasters, podcasting, podcasts, period. You know, so it was just kind of a nice show where I interviewed other podcasters. It was fun to do. Early on, when I started, there weren't too many podcasters. Obviously, that number grew. This was all pre-iTunes days. And then it grew after that, obviously, as well. And now I'm with Libsyn, and my other podcast kind of took over my life and has kind of pushed Podcast 411 to the side for the time being.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, you are actually going to be coming, though, and sharing some pretty interesting stuff with podcasting. Tell us a little bit about your session that you're going to be teaching and what tools you're going to be using to tell us about how to do what you want to do.
Well, this session kind of comes from what my other podcast is, which is Today in iOS, which used to be Today in iPhone, which was the first podcast about the iPhone. So I've been doing that for over 5.5 years since before the iPhone launched. And this session actually is about how to podcast 100% from your iPad. So you don't have a this is a lot of people now are in this situation. They don't have a computer anymore. They go and they buy an iPad and that's their computer. And the question is, can you podcast from that iPad, never touching a computer, never having the files go to a computer, doing everything 100% from your iPad? And the answer is yes. And my definition, by the way, of podcasting is this is audio and it's an MP3. Yep. You know, I consider if you're a podcaster, you need an audio, you need to be doing it as MP3. I know some people do M4A, but we're talking MP3, so it hits everybody. Not just the people that can play M4A files.
Absolutely. And so tell us some of the tools that you're going to be using or that you would use to actually be able to pull off the podcasting only from an iPad.
Part of this is talking about, hey, you can use a mic, a good mic like the Yeti, the Blue Yeti mic, USB mic, where you can plug it in and how to do that, how to connect the Blue Yeti mic to your iPad. And I show some audio clips, I play some audio clips, I should say, of here's how you sound with just the internal mic. Here's how you sound with the headphones that come from an iPhone on the iPad. And here's how you sound with the Blue Yeti mic that's plugged in through the USB camera connection kit and how you have to what you have to do to make that work. So that's part of what I go over a little bit on the technical side. Then I go over some of the software that you need to use. I talk about Boss Jock app. How to use that to record. As I talk about a couple, because there's only a couple of apps. Believe it, there's a lot of apps that record audio on the iPad. Only two or three of them will actually let you export as an MP3 file.
Yep.
And so I kind of go over which ones those are and explain, you know, why to use those and then some other tools and then just, you know, just everything that you need. You really can do 100% of your podcasting, you know, if you're not needing to record Skype conversations. But if you're doing like a solo show, you can really do it all from your iPad. And I think that's important. I think that'll help bring in more people. I just put a post up on Libsyn, which was a follow-up to an article I wrote in Blogger and Podcaster Magazine over 5 years ago about where are all the women at? And that was about there's such a small percentage of podcasters are women. And one of the theories of why that is they just don't have the time. You know, we have 51% of bloggers are women, but only 12.5% of podcasters are women. It's a very small number, percentage-wise, of podcasters are women. And, you know, one of the theories is they can blog any time throughout the day when they have the kids or whatever, and they can just, you know, type out a few lines here, type out a few lines there, but it's harder to podcast throughout the day. So maybe if they learn that they can do it on their iPad, a little recording here, a little recording there throughout the day, at the end of the day, upload it. It's very simple, very easy. You don't have to be super techy. You don't have to know how to encode or write RSS feeds or any of that stuff. You know, this tutorial will show you how to do it all And I call it a tutorial session because it really is.
Yeah, that it's pretty exciting. And of course, for the those who are a little more technical and geeky, just to, so you know, I think the software you're talking about, BossJack, even allows you to do FTP uploading and all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I go over that, you know, how to do that. And, you know, it's including putting in your ID3 tags, your album artwork, your description, all that. It's really a simple process. And that BossJack app you can actually use on your iPhone, too. So you can actually do podcasting from your iPhone. But I kind of went with the iPad because here's the beauty about the iPad. The iPad is a wonderful device if you want to record and have no fan noise.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
And it's a nice big screen that you can work on. So the iPad, third gen, fourth gen, these are incredible devices for podcasters. So even like myself, when someone asked me to do some side work where I need to do some professional audio recording, I now record on the iPad because there's no fan noise. And then I take that recording and then I transfer it over to the computer and I do my editing there. But the iPad's a great way to do recording just period if you want to do it without any background noise.
Very cool stuff. So,
really, I'd like to point out also that it's portable, which means, you know, you talked about women being able to, you know, type out a few lines of a blog, but maybe not having the time to sit down in front of a computer and record. Well, I know I've got downtime when I'm waiting to pick up kids at school, you know, all kinds of other downtime where I'm not in front of a computer, but I might have my iPad with me. So I think that's a really good point, and it's a shocking number. 12.5% of podcasters are women. I wanted to ask you more about that. Is it possible that there's a lot of, you know, multi-person podcasts and couple casts where the women are there, but maybe it's the guy that's doing the techie part? And so for your numbers, when they sign up, it looks like it's a guy podcaster, but in reality, maybe he has one or two hosts that are female. Could that number possibly be?
Yes.
Not so desperately low?
That number could possibly be that low, but there's been two surveys that were done. One was done in 2005, one was done in 2007. The one in 2005 found 14% were female podcasters, and this was just asking, are you a podcaster? And then there was another one that was done, which was even a bigger survey that was done in 2007, and that number was 13%. And now we went and we looked at, okay, who are all the registered users at Libsyn? I went through a manual and went through that, and I found 12.5% were female. So, you know, Libsyn's the biggest podcast host, 12, you know, I looked over 10,000 names. I think it's pretty significant, you know, statistically significant number. Okay, maybe the number is as high as 15% of podcasters are women, maybe 16% when you add in some of the couple casts.
Or maybe, Rob, we find out that women are just less likely than men to fill out surveys.
But, you know, see, that's the thing. The Libsyn one wasn't a survey. The Libsyn one, we actually looked at who's registered users with us.
Yeah, I was just kidding.
No, that's true. That was why the surveys, I agree with you. That was one of the things that people said, well, maybe just women just don't want to fill out these surveys, or they're only promoted in areas where only, you know, men are. But when you actually look at the Libsyn numbers, we're not looking at surveys. We're looking at who are registered users of podcasts.
Yeah.
It's true. It's always been that way. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you go, you know, we're going to talk here in a little bit of, you know, we were at the New Media Expo in New York. And when you look at the podcasters, when they get together, it's mostly men.
Yeah.
You know, it always has been. And that's, to me, one of the biggest things I feel holding back podcasting has always been that there's such a small percentage of women. Blogging took off. You know, I remember reading an article. The person said, the reason blogging took off, this was in 2004, right after the election, the person said, the reason the blogging is taking off was because now the number of bloggers was over 40% female. So that person felt it wasn't the election that really took that made blogging take off. It was that there was enough women blogging. And I think podcasting, you know, we're still outnumbered, over 900 to 1 versus bloggers. And we need to get more women in it.
Well, we will. And in fact, I can tell you, I do podcasting A to Z and teach 20 to 30 people at a time for a 4-week class. And the first couple sessions that I did, probably the first 5 sessions, I always had 1 or 2 women in it. And the session that I'm in right now has, I think, 4 or 5 women in it. Still relatively small overall compared to the number of men. But I am seeing more and more women coming on board. And the really cool thing is, and how this works, it all snowballs. You find when you get somebody out there who is able to create a podcast and it's a great quality podcast, they'll typically find people in their target audience who are a lot like them. And of course, they'll say, well, gosh, if you can do it, I'd love to learn how to do this too. And then it'll inspire them. So, you know, I think it's going to continue to grow. I think all of us would agree that podcasting is on a massive upswing. And with a lot of big players launching podcasts this year in 2012, it's only going to get bigger in 2013.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm very pro podcasting. I just would love to see more women in it.
We just like women anyway.
It is enough dudes. Let's get some more women in here.
That's right. Well, speaking about enough dudes, bringing Lou back in here. Here's the situation. Lou and Rob, both of you guys have been to more, let's say, blog world events, conferences, than I have ever been to, which is pretty interesting. So you guys have been to this conference that is now New Media Expo for years, and we officially had some pretty significant moves forward from the staff of New Media Expo starting back in New York City of this last year. I'm going to ask Lou to start off first. Now, there's always been a group of podcasters that have come to the conference, but Lou, can you give me your opinion of New York City this past time around? What did you see different?
So, Cliff, it's interesting because I kind of looked at New York from a top-down view because I have been to all of the podcast expos and blog worlds, going back to all of them, because the only one I missed was the one in Ontario, the first one. And for a couple of years, there was a nice presence of podcasting and podcast vendors up on the show floor. There was a lot of discussion. And then it seemed to sort of fade away a little bit as blogging just sort of exploded. And to me, the change that I saw in New York began in Los Angeles. And I specifically think to this very sort of open forum town hall kind of session where Rick was in there and you were in there and a lot of the really passionate podcast people, and they clearly listened. Like they clearly were paying attention to concerns and thoughts and feelings on the direction it was going. And what I saw in New York was what I thought was a huge leap forward. And I give a lot of the credit to you for making that happen. Because podcasting was once again brought very much. You gave podcasting a big hug in New York because you really brought it back into the fold to be included with blogging and web video. And I think that, you know, a subtle thing like the change of a name is very significant because people hear blog world, but you're a podcaster. Why are you going there? There was some sort of a disconnect, I think. And I really like the direction of what you did in terms of bring podcasting right back up to the forefront.
Rob, what about you? What did you notice difference from prior conference events with the podcasting track and the focus that the team had put on the podcasting community in New York City?
Well, I mean, like Lou, I mean, I've been to every one of the New Media Expos and I've been to all the Blog World Expos when they were in Ontario. So I've been to all of them over the years. Actually even ran the tracks at the New Media Expo when it was in Las Vegas, the third or fourth year that they ran the New Media Expo. So I was in your position. And I think, you know, I ran it for 1 year and then the next year it went from me running it to where we had a podcasting track. We actually had three podcasting tracks, to the next year where now we're going to make it, a committee doing it and we're not going to call it podcasting anymore. We're going to call it, digital broadcasting or something like that. And I was like, really? I'm like, you know, really? And I argue with Rick. I said, Rick, this is the wrong way to go. I'm like, there's a podcasting community. People call themselves podcasters. You need to call this thing podcasting. And, you know, and I was so glad that they finally came to their senses. They came to their senses. They realized they were wrong. And they came back and said, okay, yes, there is a podcasting community. And people are associating themselves as podcasters. And they do want to be involved.
And we want to be called, I would say, a majority of us want to be called podcasters.
Right. And that was something that there were some people inside New Media Expo that, you know, inside the staff that didn't get that. And they finally, Well, I kind of gave up on it. You finally, I don't know how you did it, what you roofies you put in their drinks, what you did, or you convinced them
Let me just say, I get a ton of credit. You know, I'm getting all these pats on the back and accolades, and I'll gladly accept them. But no, seriously, I was a piece of straw that broke the camel's back. You guys are the ones who really, you know, set the foundation for all these changes. And like Lou said, I think it, you know, really did start in L.A. 2011 when there was that, you know, town hall meeting style session and everybody just laid it online. Listen, this is who we are and we don't feel like we're being understood. And this is who we want to be. This is, you know, we want to have a home. We want to have a conference, you know, but we're just not feeling it here. And then there were some private conversations as well. You were having private conversations with Rick. Todd Cochran was having some really important and influential, you know, conversations with Rick. And then eventually it's like, okay, well, if we're going to make these changes, who do we do? And we all know that there's been some polarization among various aspects of the various podcasting sub communities. And I just happen to be a guy who doesn't really, you know, pander to any one side or the other, and I seem to be more. I'm Switzerland. That's all I am. So that's it. I'm Switzerland. I came along and you guys did all the foundation work and allowed me to come along and say, hey, look at Cliff. He's a white shining knight and he saved this whole thing. And that's not how it worked. But anyway, exciting things are happening. Now, obviously, New York City was different. But man, are you guys, is it me? Is it just because I'm working on it that I'm excited? But we got Leo Laporte and Chris Hardwick doing a massive major keynote that I don't know if you guys know, but radically changed the entire schedule of New Media Expo just weeks before the event. But anyway, major, major keynote speech, the podcast, 8th annual podcast awards at New Media Expo, and not to mention the fact that just some amazing podcasting tracks are happening. I mean, are you guys as excited as I am about this?
I have circled this on my calendar since New York. This is sort of the big event for me throughout the year. I'm really looking forward to it. And getting somebody like a Chris Hardwick and a Leo Laporte are very much a testament to, again, the direction you're going and what you guys are doing. So I'm super excited to see him. And look, I'm a huge fan of Walking Dead and zombies. So I can't wait to see Chris Hardwick from a geek perspective as well.
Yeah, I guess I better catch up on my Walking Dead episodes. I just finished up season two, so I'm like, I need to go purchase season three on iTunes and catch up before the expo, so I don't get any spoilers at the show.
Here's the deal. I'm going to ask you guys this. This has nothing to do with podcasting or the podcasting track, but my wife is really cool. She'll watch geeky shows with me. I've never watched the Walking Dead, not a single episode. Is this a show that if my wife is totally geeking out with me, is this a show she would also enjoy?
It depends on your wife's level of gore. I mean, it's a zombie movie.
She watches Fringe.
This is nothing like Fringe.
No. Yeah. But if you haven't watched it, you have Netflix. Go and watch the first season. Start watching it. You know, and you can always go back and watch the episodes again with your wife. It is so well done. They do such a great job. And you know, I would recommend if you haven't watched it, you definitely want to watch it. Per your wife, I mean, I don't even attempt to have my wife watch it. My wife and I, we loved Lost. We went all the way through Lost, you know, in a couple months on Netflix. We went from the beginning to the end. She loved it. Zombies, not going to happen.
All right.
Now,
all right.
See, I'm a little bit different. I don't typically like any kind of the horror genre and the scary and the gory. I really don't like that. And I have to kind of overlook that because the story is so good with Walking Dead and the suspense is so good. I just kind of ignore the fact that, yeah, they're really, really good at making it look gory and enjoy all of the story that's happening and the tense relationships. So that's what I watch it for.
Like Lost, I think you really start to develop an interest in a relationship with the characters too, despite the fact that there's people trying to eat their brains, but you do sort of fall in love or maybe not fall in love with some of the characters on there. So I, one of the few shows I watch religiously.
Well, and I could tell you that the podcast numbers for the downloads of Walking Dead podcasts that are out there, we have a few of them hosted at Libsyn. Very good.
Yeah.
Very reminiscent of Lost numbers.
And the reason why I would want to take a look into this is because I've got, you know, what, 4 weeks or just actually 3.5 weeks to kind of get in there. Can I go in and watch, do they have season one of The Talking Dead with Chris Hardwick?
That I don't know, but I would definitely, I know on Netflix you can go season one and two and then jump over to iTunes and pick up the first half of season three.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously, if you have a Netflix account, save your money, watch season one and two, and then go to iTunes and get the rest of season three.
Yeah.
So before the show, yeah, I would do it. At least get through seasons one and two.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have this opportunity to meet Chris Hardwick. And unfortunately, I'm one of those guys, you know, talk about Switzerland, totally oblivious. Like, you know, because Rob, when I first asked people, when I came to you, I'm like, okay, people I definitely need to make sure that's going to be here. And you said, oh, well, obviously Chris Hardwick. And I'm like, okay. And I hate to even admit this, but I'm like, okay, so tell me who Chris Hardwick is. I'm so nice. Yeah,
the nerdist, you know, there are about five or six podcasters that, when you look at their numbers, are top echelon, and Chris is up in that group. You know, he's up there with the Mark Maron and Leo and yeah, and Adam Carolla and and Joe Rogan. So yeah, I mean, Chris is got a huge, huge following for the Nerdist, and you know, obviously Libsyn, we're really happy to have him on board in all the Nerdist shows.
Yeah. And I've since learned a lot about it. I've actually downloaded a couple episodes of his Nerdist podcast. Listened to the episode that he did interviewing Jimmy Kimmel. And so I'm really starting to get a real appreciation for who he is and what he brings to the podcasting community. And, you know, obviously his humor is a little bit different than my style of humor, but that's okay. I completely get that. But one of the things that I love about what Chris Hardwick is doing is he is literally in the mainstream media, in the mainstream, view of so many people. And he and Adam Carolla and Mark Maron and all these people, they're literally taking podcasting to the people. And I love that.
Yeah, I mean, that's, to me, the big thing that's changed in podcasting the last few years is the mainstream move of it, especially on the comedy side. You know, all these guys are comedians. The tech podcasting kind of flattened out a while ago, but the comedy side just keeps growing and growing and growing because everybody loves to laugh.
Hey, Cliff, so. I just checked. You're going to have to get to season two, it looks like. They started The Talking Dead, it appears, at episode one of season two.
Okay. Well, that shouldn't be too bad. I will check it out. Well, guys, thank you all so much for coming on. Real quickly, Megan, is there any announcements that we need to make people aware of?
Nope. I think we did it at the beginning. It's the big show. The big talk is that Chris Hardwick is going to be there.
Sounds great.
Exciting. Well,
Lou Mangiello, WDW Radio, where can they find it online?
They can find my show at WDWradio.com and I'm at LouMangiello.com.
All right. Rob Walsh from Libsyn Media, but also he's got a podcast today in iOS. And anything else you want to plug, where can they find you?
Libsyn.com if you need podcast hosting, and todayinios.com if you want to get more out of your iOS devices.
Excellent. And of course, be sure to look for them on the speaker schedule because they're both going to have amazing sessions. And, you know, I haven't done this. I should say, hey, I'm doing a session too on how to grow your audience and market your podcast. If you want to know how to do that, just look for Cliff Ravenscraft on there as well. Megan Enloe, thank you for getting these guests scheduled for the show this week.
Happy to. Always happy to bring more podcasters on.
And where can they find you on Twitter?
NMX Podcast.
We'll talk to you next week.